Let's pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts, O Lord, be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. As I talked about, this week on Thursday, we hit 40 days after Easter. Tradition states that Jesus walked the earth in his heavenly nature for 40 days, meeting with his disciples, talking to them, and then on the 40th day, when they were sitting there, he raised up and went into the clouds to be with God, to go home. This is that conclusion of the earthly ministry of Jesus until he comes back, as we say in the Apostles' Creed, to judge the living and the dead. It finishes it. It's a concluding thing, but it also is an important 40 days. It has nothing to do with our salvation. Our salvation is earned on Good Friday when Jesus dies on the cross. That is the end of the salvation story, because Jesus dies on the cross, his blood is shed for all eternity, and we are saved through the blood of Christ. Resurrection on Easter Sunday is not about salvation, but it is an exclamation. Easter is a time of, if you didn't believe that Jesus really died for our sins and it mattered, then now look at it, that there had been people, Jesus had resurrected people, right? But nobody has resurrected themselves ever. Jesus comes out of the grave. The grave is empty. We celebrate that Jesus has conquered death. And if he can conquer death, then he can set us free through his death too. Exclamation mark. And then we have 40 days that Jesus goes about, and he's talking about what is our ministry here. He tells us that we have things to look forward to, but we also have things to do, that we are to gather and eat meals. We are to go and baptize. We are to be witnesses to the world by how we love our neighbors and how we care for others. And then he ascends. It's interesting because what does the early church do? It keeps looking up and keeps visioning that they're waiting for Jesus to come back and take them away. And really, if you look at Paul's gospel, his writings in the letters, he says to the early Christians, stop looking up, that you've got work to be done here. Why? Because the early Christian church believed that Jesus was coming back at any time and he'd take them away. And so they were waiting. And that's one of the real reasons why we don't see a church structure. People ask and talk about, well, there's no really structure talked about in the Bible. There's no really, what does a pastor do? What does a bishop do? What does this, you know, how should churches be run? Why? Because the early church didn't care about it. If you were thinking that Jesus would come back any day, then you can sit there and say, well, we really don't need to build structures, because guess what? Jesus is coming back, and whatever seems to be going wrong, or whoever I'm having an issue with, or we'll just put up with it for a little bit, right? Then what happens? Time. And by the second generation, people are saying, oh my goodness, maybe Jesus isn't coming back in my time. So we gotta have structure, we have to build up things, and we have to come up with, what does this standard mean, and how does this deal? But it also talks about, what are we doing here on this earth, and what does it matter? Why are we still here? And it comes to an interesting conclusion, because if Jesus did not have a reason for us, I assume Jesus would have assumed us into heaven when he went up there. There's something we are to be doing. And it starts with 10 days after the ascension, the Holy Spirit comes down upon them, and we see the witness of the church at Pentecost. But what is that? What is the church? I've been reading articles about the church dying. Everybody is quite worried that there isn't the great attendance in the church anymore, that the pews are empty. I hear stories about more and more young people are not interested in the church and don't want to follow it. I hear stories about young people sitting there saying, I don't mind Jesus, but I do mind the people. That's not too far. Another famous person said that. Mahatma Gandhi said that I'd follow Jesus if it, Jesus was the one they were following, but I don't know what Christians are following, but it's not Jesus. But the reality is, the church is alive and well. It is doing its work, and in the past week, I have seen it in full form. I saw it when the church, when one of our parishioners' fathers passed away, and people were there greeting her with hugs and words, when they held her hands as she cried. And I saw it when I sat through the sermon and heard the glory of the good news that God was going to take him to heaven, as he promised. I saw it as we worked together in a yard sale and were putting things out, and people were coming to get things they needed. And we were able to talk about, well, when you purchase this, it's not just purchasing another dollar to my pocket. But with that dollar, our youth will go to New York City and feed the hungry. And our youth will come back and be witness to what it means to be in poverty and struggle. I saw it in our gardens when people were working together, elderly and young, from people who were imprisoned to the wealthy, all working to produce food and seeing God's glory in that. I saw it as a woman was sitting there asking, I'm so sick, can I just go be home with God? And people were bringing food and care and concern. I see it today as we go to the baptismal font and Bren becomes a member of the church. And just to let you know, this is the fourth baptism we've had this year of children. I was just talking to a pastor the other day, and they said, we haven't had a baptism in 4 years. I said, well, we have one coming up. Isn't that awesome? I see it as we gather at the Lord's table and eat a meal and recognize that meals bring us in unity and that we gather to eat this meal. And it's not a meal that fulfills us and makes us want to go to sleep, but it's a meal that wants us to go farther because this is a foretaste of the feast to come. But that's the work of the church. That's seeing the church in action. Hate to tell you, but the reality is we just have to see it in a new way. Last time I checked, buildings don't do action. This is a beautiful place. It is where we worship God, and it's a blessing to have. But if this building were to go away, it doesn't mean the church is empty. We might have less people active in our church. We might see them less here. But it doesn't mean that the work of the church isn't been going and that God isn't moving through it. We might have people who are less knowledgeable about the faith and holding to the faith. But one thing I can guarantee you is from talking to people throughout the week that faith is held still here. You know, the church at its grandest was not when we had big buildings. It wasn't when we had huge social programs, and it wasn't when we had everything organized and structured. It was when Jesus left them and said, get to work. And what did the disciples do? They went out and loved one another. They broke bread together. They went and baptized the faithful and went about doing the work. They didn't know what they were doing, but they went and followed the one that did. We as a church have great hope. It's not in how many people are in our pews. It's not how nice our buildings are. It is in Jesus. In Jesus saying that, I am with you in the Holy Spirit. I will lead and guide you that we will be faithful to the day that Jesus calls us home. And on that day, we will celebrate with all those who have gone before us. You see, the ascension is about Jesus going home. It's about saying, good job. You've done your task. Who knows how long God has given us to take on task. But we're not idle. We're not sitting around looking for Jesus to come out of the clouds. We are to be the light of the world. We are to be giving glory to God. We are to be the church. Because what is the church? It's not buildings. It's not fancy titles like the ELCA or Church Catholic. It is the people of God gathering to give God praise and thanks and to do his work. Amen.